T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
It's Hurricane Hotline on the home of the U. AM 560 and FM 96.5 HD2 WQAM. Driven by Williamson Cadillac. For value, style, and performance, visit Miami's premier luxury dealership. Click WilliamsonCadillac.com now. Here's Don Bailey Jr. and the voice of the Hurricanes, Joe Zagacki.
Happy to welcome you back to the show now, and happy to welcome to the show former University of Miami tight end Brevin Jordan, getting ready for the NFL draft. And Brevin, welcome to the show. Thanks for taking the time.
Appreciate you for having me.
So I asked you right before, are you excited or nervous? And what is your emotion right now coming into the draft?
You know, I'm excited, but really right now the main emotion for me is anxious. I'm very, very anxious, you know, just find out where I'm going, you know, find out where I'm going, what team I'm going to, where I'm going to have to move to, you know, get adjusted with life too. So, I mean, I'm just more so anxious, you know, to just find out everything.
What kind of impact do you think your pro day is going to have on where you go in the draft? I thought it was a whale of a pro day.
Yeah, I mean, I think my pro day is going to have some effect on it. I think more so the game film, though. You know, because at pro day, you know, I was just running my routes, you know, I was just giving like a slight 10-yard burst. But I think, you know, when they turn on the game film, they're going to be like, oh, yeah, he catches the ball, and then he looks. He'll score. He turns it to a running back. So I think that's going to be my biggest asset for me, honestly.
Yeah, I think if people look at your career, the one thing you come away with, you say, man, lots of production. And then somebody asked me the other day about you, and I said, you know, when you call a game, you anticipate whether or not a guy is going to catch the ball. And every time they threw it in the direction of Brevin Jordan, I thought in my mind, I have to be ready for him to make this catch. He's going to make the catch some way or another. So production and reliability.
Absolutely. That's for me, that's my main thing. I mean, in college, you know, I was like a number one or number two guy every season at Miami, you know, so I had to be mentally prepared to catch every football. That's one of those main things where I like to, you know, brag about, is, you know, I catch the football.
You come out early. What led you to the decision to try the NFL this year as opposed to waiting? What were the important elements for you going into the draft this year?
I mean, it was a lot. You know, I talked to really everybody. I went and got as much advice as possible. I talked to Ed Reed, Coach Diaz. I talked to a lot of my coaching, Coach Likens, Coach Lashley, Coach Field. I talked to everybody. I got as many factors into the decision as possible. And, you know, a lot of the factors, though, were really depending on my body. You know, I mean, I've been hurt a couple years, every year really at Miami. I suffered an ankle injury last game of the season my freshman year. My sophomore year, I had a Liz Frank surgery. Then this past year, you know, I missed two games because of my SC joint in my chest. So I was just like, man, I've produced a lot. At the University of Miami, you know, I didn't feel like I built a great enough legacy, you know, to be called like a legend at the University of Miami, but I was more so, you know, just ready to make some money. You know, I've been playing football since I was 5 years old. And, you know, I was just ready to finally make some money and, you know, start my career off, you know, young while I'm at it.
Right. Yeah. Very understandable. You are a mismatch for a lot of teams. You can be a really tough mismatch for an offense. 31% of the time you lined up in the slot. What's some of the feedback that you're getting from the NFL in terms of how they might use you?
The feedback I'm getting is, you know, a lot of the NFL teams see me as a, you know, F tight end. You know, they see me as a move guy because of my athleticism. But they also, you know, they're saying, you know, they could see me as a three down tight end just because of my first 2 years at Miami, you know, I was in line a lot more. You know, this past year, it was really the only year I played in the slot most of the time. But my first 2 years, I was a true wide tight end. You know, I was playing in line. You know, they were saying, you know, I'm a surprisingly good blocker, you know, for my size, you know. So I think that's, you know, I'm hearing a lot of everything because I've talked to almost, you know, I think I've talked to all 32 teams. I've talked to some form or basis of every team. And just what I'm hearing is I could be a three down tight end, you know, just because of, you know, how good of a blocker I am, surprisingly.
You know, you mentioned your size. And it was funny, in your pro day, they mentioned Brevin Jordan, 6'3", 247, maybe not considered a big tight end. I thought to myself, what? I guess, you know, tight ends in the NFL are even bigger. Do you think that in terms of blocking and taking on maybe some of the bigger defensive ends or outside linebackers, that's a concern at all?
No, I don't think it's a concern. I don't know why, you know, it's such a big deal because history has shown a lot of guys have done it. A lot of guys have been shorter tight ends, like Dallas Clark. I mean, Antonio Gates, Aaron Hernandez, you name it, the list goes on. A lot of guys have been, you know, 6'2", 6'3", tight ends. And for me, I feel like that's, you know, better for me because I weigh the same as a lot of tight ends that are entering the draft. I'm in the 240 to 250 range. It's not 245 to 250 range. It's not like my weight's a problem and my strength's a problem. It's more so my height. And if I'm shorter, you know, I have a better leverage point of attack on, you know, defensive ends rather than being a taller guy and I have to get down in my hips more. You know, I could just, you know, I could be half leverage and I'm pretty much in the guy's chest already because of, you know, my height. I'm not the biggest dude. So I don't see why that would be a problem. And plus, like I said before, turn on the film, I did it, you know, my first 2 years at Miami constantly.
You are a smooth route runner and, as I mentioned, an accomplished catcher of the football. What kind of impact do you think those two things have, in particular, being a really good route runner?
I think, you know, that helps, but it goes along with my athleticism, you know. Me being able to, you know, create separation at the top of my routes is going to help me, you know, when I get the ball in my hands, you know, turn into a running back. So I think, you know, the scouts seeing that and me just, you know, adding that into my game, being a smooth route runner, I think that's just going to help a lot. I think it's just going to, you know, get me to the NFL where I can, you know, cause separation because if you have, you know, an inch of separation, you know, the NFL, the quarterbacks in the NFL are that good. They'll throw it to you. Like, a lot of the catches in the NFL are contested catches. So, I mean, me being a smooth route runner, I think that just helps, you know, add to my game and, you know, it's like, turn on the film. I'm a running back when I get the ball in my hands.
Brevin Jordan is our guest here on the show. Here's what I would say. All you really have to do is take the video of your freshman year. You're lined up in the slot. Florida State is the opponent. Nikosi Perry is the quarterback. He lofts one over your shoulder for the game-winning touchdown.
Facts.
Not that I'm partial or anything, but I think that pretty much sums it up.
No doubt about it. I feel the same way.
Do you have a team you'd like to go to? Would you like to stay home in Vegas, or what if the Dolphins give you a call? Or does it matter?
Oh man, I would love for either the Dolphins or the Raiders to call me. That would be amazing. But I mean, at this point, you know, I'm just ready to just hear my name called. It doesn't matter really what team it is. I don't really have a preferred team. I mean, because the Raiders and the Dolphins, they both have some solid tight ends. Darren Waller and, you know, for the Raiders, and Mike Gesicki for the Dolphins. I mean, they both have some solid tight ends, but just to go and, you know, learn, be able to learn under those guys, you know, see how they became solid pros, that would be amazing. But I don't really have a preferred team, to be honest.
Do you think as we get closer to the draft or even on draft day that you're going to be compared to Pitts at Florida?
Probably. I mean, just because of the athleticism basis. But, I mean, you don't really worry about stuff like that. I mean, on draft day, I'm not going to really be worried about, you know, comparisons and who goes first, who goes second. I'm more so just going to be like, man, like, when is my name going to be called?
Yeah. How about your workouts? What is it? What did you notice once you decided, okay, I'm all in on the NFL thing? Did it become a business for you? How did it change in terms of going to those workouts every day? And then take us through your workouts.
It changed completely. I mean, my workout basis while I was training, you know, for the combine, you know, I was doing like 40 stuff, shuttle starts and stuff like that in the morning. And then in the afternoon, we're getting it in. It's a hard pump. You know, I'm getting hard pumps in, hard workout. Completely changed my whole body. My whole body changed completely. Like, I weighed in, you know, at 248 when I went in, but I was a little bit thinner. And then I came out of my combine training, I was the same exact weight, but my body fat was a lot less down, and I just looked more ripped. I had more traps. So my whole body changed. You know, I finally got abs, and I didn't have abs since, like, fifth grade. I'm not even kidding you. I haven't had abs since, like, sixth grade, fifth grade. And then I came out of, you know, combine training with some abs. So, I mean, my whole body just changed. The main basis of that, though, for me was my diet. You know, I was in college, you know, working out, doing Dave Feely's workouts, and those were hard. And I'm telling you, I gained 20 pounds my going into my junior year when he first got there. But that, I know, my sophomore year, but that was hard because, you know, I'm out eating like McDonald's and, you know, Chick-fil-A sandwiches and it's just stuff like that. You know, my diet, I completely changed my diet, you know, when I got to this level, and just completely changed it, and it changed my body. So diet is just as important as, you know, lifting.
Are you looking forward to the fact that once you are drafted and you are competing, this is your job, football, morning, noon, and night. This is your career now. It's a job.
I'm excited. I'm ready for it, too. I mean, because my whole life I've been, you know, I've always had school. I've always had some other form of obligations to going on with football. So this is literally my life. It's literally what I have to eat, breathe. It's my life. Football is my job now. So, I mean, I'm looking forward to it, actually. I'm actually very excited for it.
I would be remiss to not ask, how is your mom? She excited?
Mom's just good. Yeah, mom's just good. She's doing really well. She's just, you know, she is, man. She's just cooking good, man, looking good, you know, being fresh. So mom's just doing good.
Okay. We do have a spring game coming up here at the University of Miami. How do you think they're going to do this year in terms of the offense evolving? We're hopeful that De'Aaron King will come back, but these other two kids, Garcia and Van Dyke, have really been throwing the football pretty well.
I think this year, I mean, if we lose a game or two in the regular season, I think it's going to be a disappointing season for everybody. I mean, that's just the standard we all hold ourselves to. You know, the standard at the University of Miami is we're going into the ACC championship undefeated. You know, play Clemson, beat Clemson, go play for a national championship, play for the college football playoff. You know, so I think anything less than that, it will be a disappointing year. I mean, this is Manny Diaz is his third year, and his fourth year, I think, right? Fourth year, wait.
Yeah, his fourth year, and
I think we're all ready for, you know, for Manny Diaz to take the next step. He's taken the next step last year. He showed everybody he's willing to make changes. And, you know, our record improved drastically, you know, from the year before. And the offense improved drastically. And I think, you know, with being under year two with Coach Lashley and, you know, him returning back to the helm on the defensive side, I mean, I think anything less than, you know, playing for a national championship is going to be disappointing for everybody.
You guys won games when you were at the Hurricanes last year, won close games in the fourth quarter. How important do you think that is in becoming part of the team's DNA going into this year?
I think it's huge. I mean, that's why we hold up the fours. You know, we hold the fours on our fingers going into the fourth quarter because we know this is crunch time. You know, this is where games are won. You know, it's how you start and how you finish. And I think that's the biggest thing for, you know, our team is winning the fourth quarter. When we win the fourth quarter, I mean, we don't lose.
Will Mowry, you guys are very close and teammates. What do you expect from Will Mowry this year?
Oh, Will knows what I expect from him. I expect him to win the John Mankey Award. I expect him to be a first-team All-American, first-team All-ACC, first tight end drafted off the board. He knows exactly what I expect from him. 1,000-yard receiving. He knows exactly what I expect from him. So, I mean, he knows that I think I know how he's going to put up everything that I have, like, envisioned for him because the dude is just a problem. Yeah. He's a problem when he gets the ball in his hands. He's a problem when he catches the ball. He has a huge catch rate. He's 6'5". He runs like a receiver. Like, the dude is just going to be a problem next year. I think he's going to go down as probably, you know, the best tight end to come through the University of Miami.
You enjoyed your 3 years here, didn't you?
Oh, I loved it. Yeah. I loved it.
Yeah, that's good. All right. Well, we loved having you here. We greatly appreciate it. We will follow you closely on draft day. And, of course, during your NFL career, I think you're going to have a tremendous career because the number one job is to catch the ball, and that's what you do really well, catch the ball. So the very best of luck, and thank you for being with us.
Thank you for having me, my man. I'll talk to you guys soon.
All right, that is Brevin Jordan joining us on the Hurricane Hotline as Jordan gets ready for the NFL draft. And still to come on the hotline, Don Bailey Jr. will be coming up next. Also scheduled on the show, Amy Deem, University of Miami track and field coach. We're going to hear from Zach McLeod as well as Travaris Robinson, Hurricanes defensive backs coach and baseball player Raymond Gill. So we got a packed show lined up for you, if our computer cooperates. At any rate, Travaris Robinson, Zach McLeod, perhaps Don Bailey Jr. coming up next, Raymond Gill and Amy Deem all coming up here on the Hurricane Hotline. And of course, we have Hurricanes Rewind tomorrow as well. Let me talk to you for a moment about Williamson Cadillac, a part of Miami's unique community for over 52 years. And Williamson Cadillac serves this community with the same essence that represents the people who live here, because Williamson is Miami. Ed Williamson, his lovely wife, Carol Williamson, well known for their integrity and honesty. And you can experience everything that Williamson Cadillac has to offer with its award-winning lineup. You can make a statement in their unmistakable XT crossovers, the XT5, the XT6, engineered to stand out, or excite your senses and zoom around town in Williamson's CT sedan series dedicated to performance, or ride in the original icon, the Cadillac Escalade, the fifth generation of the Cadillac Escalade. You can visit their state-of-the-art facility, easily located US 1 and 104th Street, just south of the Palmetto Expressway, or view their entire lineup online at WilliamsonCadillac.com. Williamson Cadillac, your premier luxury dealership. Williamson is Miami.
Hurricane Hotline on the home of the U, AM 560 and FM 96.5 HD2 WQAM. Driven by Williamson Cadillac. For value, style, and performance, visit Miami's premier luxury dealership. Click WilliamsonCadillac.com now. Here's Don Bailey Jr. and the voice of the Hurricanes, Joe Zagacki.
All right, welcome back to the show. Delighted you are with us. A little bit crazy tonight. Technology. Stephen Preciado is our producer tonight. Joining me now, broadcast partner Don Bailey Jr. We will be out at Hard Rock Stadium on Saturday. Programming note, Saturday beginning at 10 a.m. Miami's spring scrimmage. Kickoff will be at 11. DBJ and I will have that call for you for the Miami spring game. All right, Don, good evening. How are you?
I'm very good, Joe.
That's good. All right. What do you expect?
We're back at Friday. A lot better than Friday.
Well, you got your second shot on Friday. I got mine today. And, you know, I feel pretty good, but I'm having some technical issues here tonight. So I'm going to blame it on the shot, okay. I guess.
That's it. Everybody blames everything on the shot. So it works.
Yep. But I feel pretty good. All right. What do you expect on Saturday? What do you want to see on Saturday?
I'd like to see continued efficiency and the fluidness that the quarterbacks have shown you and I at every practice and all the scrimmages that we've gone to. I'm excited about how these two guys have been developed under Rhett Lashley. I think that we've got two keepers here, a little bit different style, each one, but they certainly have a grasp of how to play the game of football and be a quarterback. And I think that that's something that comes naturally to them. I think they're benefiting by being with Rhett Lashley, but also being around De'Eriq King. And he is constantly around them. He's in the meetings, and he's coaching them, and he's teaching them. So they're getting great tutoring sessions right now, and I expect them to do well. I'd like to see the next wave of receiver. We've seen a lot of success out of Restrepo and Rambo and, of course, Mike Harley. I want to see who 4, 5, and 6 are. I think that's I'd like to see some headway in that department defensively. I'm looking forward to seeing Avante Williams, 15. He is just when I was out there today, he really looked good. I like the way that the range that he has. Be interesting to see him. And then, of course, I want to see that linebacker spot get somewhat solidified.
We saw Rambo the other night catch a pass for a touchdown, caught some other quick passes. They hit him on a trick play, and just for trick plays for a moment, usually you're not a good trick play team unless you run trick play a lot in practice. You know, you can tell when a team runs a trick play in a game if they haven't really worked on it, right? Because then they probably botch it. But this trick play the other night, and I think if you're going to be a team that wants to have misdirection and keep the other team off balance, trick plays are going to be part of it. It was flawless from formation to finish.
It was. It almost didn't look like a trick play. you know, I mean, it was.
Yeah.
It looked like it was something that was called at the line of scrimmage, and I don't. You know, you want execution, and that's what really they've been talking about since they got here. Meaning that offensive staff, and they're starting to get it. I think Rambo comes in. He brings 4 years of experience in a high-powered offense at Oklahoma. And he gives you a little bit of leadership. I believe he's still adjusting. You know, he was institutionalized in Oklahoma football, and now he's learning the Miami way. And I think that's going to take, you know, the rest of spring and a little bit of camp. But I think the best is yet to come out of him.
The quarterbacks the other day, we noticed their accuracy. I think they're accurate in different ways. Van Dyke is not afraid to put the ball in a window for receivers to go get it. And Garcia will knock you over. He'll hit you right in the chest over and over and over.
You know, there's confidence in both of these young men, but I don't detect any arrogance. And I think that's an important thing to realize when you're dealing with quarterbacks. I think that both of these young men appreciate the position. They appreciate what goes into it, and they have high expectations of themselves. And Coach Lashley, you know, seeing him for now, you know, going on his second year and watching him at practice, he's so good with these guys. I mean, he played the position himself in this offense since he was in eighth grade. So he's mastered it, but he's also mastered the art of explaining it and teaching it. But both of these guys are quarterbacks. And I got to tell you, Matoka too is, you know, he can run and he's an athletic guy, and he has not been, he hadn't been a sight for sore eyes. He's really done a good job. So I credit Coach Lashley and his ability and his complete understanding of the offense.
Offensive line has been a strength in the spring, and to me, the guy that keeps jumping out, and I said the other day, I think he could, if he continues to work, and I think he brings such joy to the team, but Navon Donaldson could be this year's Jalen Phillips.
How do you not love him, right? I mean, he's a big guy that's athletic, and he's a difference maker. I mean, really, when you say offensively, take out your quarterback position and probably take out Mike Harley. In spring, we don't have Mallory. Who can make a difference? Navon Donaldson makes a difference. He's not going to get overrun physically. Now, if he's out of position or uses poor technique, that can happen. But he's a guy that we saw a couple plays against Duke's, play number two, boom. Big run, you know, by Cam, and it's not going to change. I'm happy for him, and I pointed out at the scrimmage, you know, he's running. He is not winded, doesn't have any problem with this fast-paced offense, and he's not walking on the field. He's not walking off the field, so he is going to be an integral part of Miami's success. Really, I think in the running game, we've talked about the backs. Get Navon in there; he'll make a difference.
Yeah, the guy that all three backs, I think, have had a pretty good camp. Cameron Harris scored a wild touchdown the other night, leapfrogging Gervin Hall. Coach Lashley has said he wants to get one guy out of the three. We'll see. Maybe he will. Again, it might take three to make one. I don't know. We have a long way to go before they play Alabama. But Knighton does have the ability to be elusive.
He does, Joe, and, you know, let's remind everybody, he started last year. He started the last game of the year when everybody was healthy. So he earned a starting job as a true freshman. Now, unfortunately, he got hurt. And it doesn't matter if it's at practice or in a scrimmage, he always seems to do something. And I think he's another one that understands that you just can't take your high school tape and transfer to college. You got to learn to block. You got to learn pass protection. You've got to learn audibles. You got to learn to run defenses. And he's starting to make that aware. But I like him. I think that he's got probably the most top end speed out of everybody in that group. But he's also gotten bigger, and I think he got a taste of starting, and he wants to start. And you know, I understand Coach Lashley. He does want a guy that's going to be his starter and 20 carry guy, but he's going to also need two or three other guys because there's going to be another 20 carries that have to be accounted for as well.
I asked you this earlier today, and in one of the areas Coach Diaz has said Miami has to get better is stopping the run. Coach Lashley has said they got to get better at running the football. How can we draw any conclusion on those topics during Saturday's scrimmage?
Those two topics have been discussed since Nuke Rodney. That's the wish of both sides of the football. We want to run it, and we got to stop it. And defensively for Miami, I would think, you know, John Ford, blessing for him that he was able to come back. He's a guy that needed a red shirt. He's better than he's been. I've watched him. He's in better shape. His weight's in line. He's getting better. He can make a difference. Nesta Severa has got to come in and be the guy to set the pace, in my opinion, for that entire defense. Let's say the front seven. I don't think he has anything much to do with the secondary, but the front seven. So, I'm waiting for him to come back, and we've got to get these defensive ends matured. And I think, the front seven, you go back to that again, and McLeod is going to be all right. I think he's going to be able to help you. And then, the running game offensively on both sides, honestly, Joe, it's a mentality. You've got to be determined to stop it. You've got to be determined to run it. And it's a battle of the wills. I think that Miami offensively is going to be a little bit better because they're bigger and they're stronger and they've got a good grasp of what's going on. But you're going to see a bigger offensive line trot out in Atlanta. Gainer's up probably 10 or 12 pounds, and he looks it. He looks like a 22 or 23-year-old instead of an 18-year-old. And Zion Nelson has about as good a look as you're going to get. He's probably in 320 now and moving well. But that whole group is coming along, and I think the running game will be better. I think I can't tell you what's going to happen with run defense. I just, without Nesta being there, I think he carries so much power at that position that he's got to be accounted for before you can assess where they're at.
This is probably a fun exercise for all of us junior coaches on run defense. If you look at run defense in college football, you probably are going to be compromised somewhere in your defense in order to stop the run. And probably most teams are playing some combination of a 5, a 3-3-5, a 4-2-5. Somehow they're getting the 5. But, for example, Miami plays basically now 4 down linemen, 2 linebackers, and 5. We got a striker and their hybrid player. Everybody's got their hybrid player. And what I'm getting around to is if you want to go and say, okay, you got to scheme it up. Georgia, number one in the country against the run, 72 yards a game. They play 3 guys, 3 down linemen, 3 linebackers, 5 behind that. The 3 down linemen are all the size of Jordan Miller. They're defensive tackles. Pittsburgh, number 3 in the country in run defense. We see Pittsburgh every year. What do? They put like 11 guys around the ball, right? I mean, they're compromised on the back end. They are saying we're going to stop the run, but if you get us for a big play, you get us for a big play touchdown. So no matter what Miami does, most likely, unless you've got great personnel, you are going to be compromised somewhere.
You absolutely will, and it's math. If you got to stop the run, you got to put more guys in the box. If you're going to stop the pass, you hope you can get some pass rush with the minimal amount of guys and have more people in coverage. And you look at where Miami is. I think when Manny Diaz was the defensive coordinator, he's always been very structurally sound. Well, he's known to blitz, but he covers himself. He doesn't leave himself wide open if the blitz is executed properly. And that's the whole key. How are you going to execute the offense? But if you're the defensive guy, the short answer is, my gosh, I got to have 5 people back because everybody's going with 4 and 5 wide receivers. And I think you're going to see a lot of that in the scrimmage on Saturday because, I don't know, do we even have a tight end right now? You know, everybody's banged up. Injured. I mean, everybody's banged up, and we got guys on the bench, and we don't have Jordan. We don't have the tight end that checked out early. We're short. So Brevin Jordan. So you're without tight ends. So now you're adding receivers, which means you're adding corners, which means it's turning into basketball on turf. So I don't know. The game is certainly always been about matchups, but it certainly seems to be more and more that's the rule right now is just matching up personnel.
All right, so let me throw this out to you because we're going to talk about Alabama probably from now until when we play on September the 4th. They allowed 113 yards a game on the ground, 17th in the country.
Mm-hmm.
The majority of their defense is back, by the way. There's this thought out there that Alabama lost all these guys, so perhaps they're going to be down. Well, they're ranked number one today, one of these football, one of these football polls, PFI, FBI, one of these polls came out, and they're ranked number one. Let me give you their front seven as they have it right now going into their spring game on Saturday. Their spring game is Saturday. Okay, you ready? LeBryan Ray is 295 pounds, a defensive end. DJ Dale is 307. He's their nose guard. Fidrian Mathias is their defensive end. He's 312. Their Sam linebacker is Christopher Allen at 252. Their Mike linebacker, Jalen Moody, is 225. He's the smallest. Their Will linebacker, Christian Harris, is 232. And the guy they call their Jack linebacker, Will Anderson, he's only 6'4", 235.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have a guy under 235 at linebacker. I just wanted to toss that out there because what they do is they profile their recruiting, and each position is going to have a size. And if you don't fit that size, you're not playing for Alabama.
So do yourself a favor, listeners, while you write down those sizes that Joe gave you and then go check the Super Bowl rosters, and you'll notice that the size of the defenses for both teams in the Super Bowl per position is pretty darn close to that. They've done a good job of cherry-picking college football talent and maximizing it. And they're like you said, they recruit to a specific size and speed, and it pays off. But also, they've got their system, and they've got a great head coach that has been a defensive guy forever. So it's no mistake. But I like the challenge, Joe. I love it that Miami is going to go play Alabama on the road at their place, because it certainly should be an advantage for Alabama to be up there, being it's the Southeastern Conference country. But taking on the number one team in the country, and I understand why they were picked number one this early. Why wouldn't they be? It's always a challenge, and it's fun. I mean, in my opinion, I can speak from years past that you want to play the number one team. You really do. I mean, there's nothing to be intimidated of. There's nothing to be afraid of. Let's see. Are you really number one, or am I number one? And what you find out is you find out what you need to work on. Both teams will find out, because Miami's going to show Alabama what they need to work on, and Alabama's going to do the same favor for Miami.
Well, they will have a new quarterback. Right now, their number one guy is Bryce Young. He's out of Pasadena. He's a five-star guy that's going to step in. So they'll have a new quarterback, and they'll have several new guys on their offensive line. They've had some injuries in their spring. They lost two offensive linemen in the spring, and I think three – graduated from last year's squad. They lost their left guard. They lost their left tackle. They did get their center, right guard, and right tackle back, but two of those guys got hurt during spring. So
I imagine they'll be back, Joe. And if they're not, they got something that fits those same pair of shoes and that same size jersey that may have a little bit of a different name, but they've got it set up as good as it could be. But listen, I think Miami's done a great job, specifically Manny, building this team the way he thinks it should look. The things that we've seen at practice is there's been great energy. they've been very organized. The penalties have been low. There's been a great understanding of what the competition means and how it helps everybody. And I feel very comfortable about where Miami is right now. I think that they have improved greatly. I think they proved a lot last year. I don't want to take anything away from what they accomplished last year with the type of season that those young men throughout the country were asked to deal with. But they are certainly needed every practice and every scrimmage, and it'll pay off. And then now the work really begins. You start working again in May to get ready for the kickoff in early September.
Well, I know this. Manny Diaz said, we all know that Miami is great when they're great at quarterback. We saw the difference and the impact that De'Ara King had last year. Now, I'm not going to walk the plank here and tell you that Jake Garcia or Van Dyke is going to be the next Jim Kelly and Vinny Testaverde combination, but I am willing to say that he did bring in two quarterbacks, two high-level quarterbacks that I think are on the path to having a they're on the path to being very good quarterbacks at the University of Miami.
So you'll vouch for this, as I will, because I was there. Jim Kelly didn't start as their true freshman, and neither did Vinny Testaverde. It took him about 3 or 4 years to get where he had to get. So you both of those guys did not show up on campus and become starters. Actually, the guy that started first out of Jim Kelly's group was a guy from Mike Rodrique from the Panhandle, and he came down and won the spot. So, you know, that spot right now is De'Ara King's. And De'Ara King, saw him Friday, saw him today. You wouldn't know he's been hurt. I mean, he's moving well. And you talk about a fierce competitor. I don't believe those two guys realize, or they may have realized towards the end of last year, what a competitor is, but they found out what type of guy De'Ara King is by how he's working through his rehabilitation. He's not surrendering to anybody. But I will say there's been a great advantage for both of those quarterbacks to get all the reps that they have and to work with all these receivers. And it's going to be interesting. You know, the big battle of the offseason is if and when De'Ara is going to be ready. I believe that he will be, but nobody has a timeline on when these injuries heal. And it's just going to be, let's wait and see. But I can promise you De'Ara King's doing everything in his power to make sure he puts himself in a position to be healthy.
I should mention, I spoke today with Travaris Robinson, the Hurricanes defensive backs coach. We talked a little bit about Stevenson and DJ Ivy. They put some pressure on Ivy, and T-Rob thinks Ivy's got lots of great qualities with his length and range. We have not seen Blades because he's not available for the spring. Couch got nicked up a little bit. But Stevenson, listen, he played against Alabama last year, played in that game. They kind of used him, I think, a little bit different at Georgia than they are at Miami, maybe a little bit. But nonetheless, he has faced very good competition. We have seen a physicality out of him. And from Ivy, I think we need to see him be able to use all the tools that he has.
And that's what this is. This is a gradual process. And I think the best example we can give Hurricane fans is Mike Harley. Mike Harley, a four-star player out of St. Thomas, came in, one thing he's done is worked every single second to get better. It took him 3.5 years to find his groove. And the best thing for Mike Harley was the NCAA allowed this year or last year to repeat, which gave him this year. You're going to see the best Mike Harley you can get. And we have to remember, everybody hits their stride at a different time. Navon Donaldson came in. He was a freshman All-American. You have Zion Nelson came in, who suffered and struggled as a freshman. And he may end up being an All-American if he sticks around for 2 more years. I mean, think about that. So everybody's on a different timetable. Everybody's got their own timeline. You can't really pressure a kid into it. But I can say this, Joe, they are working hard. They look bigger. They look faster. They look stronger. Coach Freely has got them understanding the importance of the weight room. The nutrition certainly has kicked in. And this, when if I would just tell our listeners, our Hurricane fans, that if spring game would have been open on Saturday, you would see a different looking team. You'd see a different performance out of the offense and the defense, and you also would see a different look physically.
Well, we're going to be on the air at 10 a.m. They'll kick it off at 11. So first and foremost, they had to come out of there healthy. And then we'll see what happens in the spring game. I think Coach Diaz gave them a pretty good talking to after the scrimmage on Friday. I think he was happy with what he saw. And then, you know, the message this week, I think, probably is, hey, a lot of people are going to see this one way or the other. It's going to be on the ACC network. It'll be on a million times. So let's make it good because people are going to see it.
Well, they're going to see it. And also, the competition's not over, guys.
Yeah.
This is we're ending spring football. Well, who's going to win May? Who's going to win June? Who's going to win July? And then who's going to win camp? And then who's going to keep their starting job once you have it? That's the beauty of team sports, or specifically football, is the competition never ends. It never ends. And Coach Schnellenberger, will reference him. You're either getting better or you're not. And if you're not, the guy behind you is going to catch you. And I think that that's something that these young men are learning, and they're having fun with it. I think that's the beauty of it. That's why so many people came back, is Manny's created an atmosphere where it's team, it's family, and you know what? We're having fun.
Yeah. Yeah, no question about that. All right, well, we're going to have some fun on Saturday. We'll be on at 10, kick it off at 11. We'll do a football game at a stadium. That'll be fun. And listen, we both got our shots, so now we're ready to go for the fall.
That's
if I survive tonight.
That's right. You'll be fine, Joe. You'll be fine. Have a good
All
evening,
good.
And I'll see you kickoff, right, buddy.
All right. Thanks a lot. Appreciate it. That's Don Bailey Jr. joining us, and we will continue on the show right after this.
Now back to Hurricane Hotline on the home of the U, AM 560 and FM 96.5 HD2 WQAM. Driven by Williamson Cadillac. For value, style, and performance, visit Miami's premier luxury dealership. Click WilliamsonCadillac.com now. Here's Don Bailey Jr. and the voice of the Hurricanes, Joe Zagacki.
Okay, more football talk still to come on this show. The spring game is Saturday, so we have more football talk coming up for you on the show. So as they say, as the DJ would say, don't move that dial. Great music still to come. So more football talk coming up. Amy Deem also will join us, University of Miami track and field coach. Amy coming up in the next segment. If you're not familiar with Amy Deem and University of Miami track, well, the women's team is always superb. They're ranked 13th in the country. The men's team, University of Miami, how would I describe men's track? I guess it hasn't been a full scholarship sport, but she has made them very, very competitive, has them ranked in the top 20. Amy has gone to the Olympics. She's been an Olympic coach. And so one of the great, great coaches and technicians in this country, and one of the most highly respected coaches, will join us next on the show. Ray Gill, Hurricanes DH, third baseman, will be with us. The Canes will have a 5-game homestand coming up starting tomorrow against Florida Gulf Coast. Miami will play at 4 o'clock tomorrow at A-Rod Park. 4 o'clock, first pitch tomorrow. Miami and Florida Gulf Coast, then a big weekend series back inside the ACC. Clemson is here on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Note the times of the games. 7 o'clock, 6 o'clock, 12 o'clock on Sunday. Then the homestand wraps up next week against Florida Gulf Coast again on April the 21st. So two games against Gulf Coast sandwiched by the Clemson Tigers. 5-game homestand coming up. Canes coming off a tough road trip to Pittsburgh where they lost all 3 games. I would expect them to bounce back starting tomorrow, 4 o'clock first pitch. Spring game is on Saturday. We'll be on the air at 10, I believe, 11 o'clock. Don and I will take over with the description and analysis and conversation of the spring game on Saturday from Hard Rock Stadium. Amy Deem will join us next on the show.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly!